ESPN has ranked the Nikola Vucevic trade as the Bulls' biggest mistake since the 2020 season. On today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about that and ask the question, is drafting Patrick Williams or is trading for Nikola Vucevic the Bulls' biggest mistake in the last handful of years? We're also going to look at clutch points rankings for each of the Bulls' free agent moves. And Noah Essanay has been predicted to be a starter in his rookie season. We're going to talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today. Y'all, I want to start off talking about this. ESPN, Zach Cram went on to rank the biggest mistakes by each NBA franchise over the last few years. He looked at all 30 teams, and Bulls ranked ninth on the list overall with the Nikola Vucevic trade, right? The Bulls ended up in tier two, which was too high, a cost for too little of reward. And so I think when you look at that, let's evaluate what the Nikola Vucevic trade was. So, right, so the Bulls ended up sending Wendell Carter and two first-round picks for Nikola Vucevic. Those first-round picks ended up turning into Franz Wagner and Jet Howard in 2023. Franz was drafted in 2021, and Franz is a key piece now of that Orlando Magic team that has aspirations of being one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. They suffered tons of injuries that held them back last year, but they definitely have the up arrow. They're on their way up, and I think they're going to have a big season in the 2025-26 season. And so a fair question to ask there, right, is like, is the Nikola Vucevic trade the biggest mistake? And I think when you look at it, I want to break this down by not only just the trade itself, but subsequently what happened in that trade, right? Part of the reason we did not draft Walker Kessler when Dalen Terry was on the board is because we already had Nikola Vucevic on our roster. Now, will I say, I want to be clear, Vuce has not been terrible for the Chicago Bulls. And for so often, so many Bulls fans talk about it as if Vuce has been this terrible, terribly unproductive player. And that's just not correct. That's why in this tier that Zachary Cram has them in, it's like just too hard for what you, too high of a cost for what you got back. Now, that I do agree with. Giving up two first round picks, the one that ended up becoming Franz Wagner, is always going to hurt. Now, Wendell, you know, you have some Bulls fans who try to act like Wendell's turned himself into some like great NBA player. Wendell's Wendell. He's almost the same player that he is here, just with different opportunity, different makeup of the roster around him. Not to say that Wendell's been terrible either, but I don't look at at Wendell as some terrible cost to pay for Nikola Vucevic. The biggest cost came, and I think one of the biggest reasons the Nikola Vucevic trade did hurt so much for the Chicago Bulls is that the Bulls did not make the playoffs that first year. Remember, they were on pace to make the playoffs that first year that we traded for Nikola Vucevic. We're talking about even before DeMar and Lonzo came here. But then Zach LaVine went down with COVID and was out. What he missed like the last 2-3 weeks of the season, something like that. Before then, the Bulls were more than on pace to be able to make the playoffs that year. And had they made the playoffs, that pick would have been a totally different pick. And thus, you wouldn't have got somebody the caliber of Franz Wagner. So that alone really changed that package so much. And the Bulls were looking at that trade when they made it as, okay, bet we're going to get Vooch. We're probably going to be able to make the playoffs. And you didn't. And thus, you then went on to not really do much else. Like the fact, and maybe I'm wrong for you using the Walker Kessler part, because I get it. They're technically two separate transactions. And had you not had Nikola Vucevic, you probably would have drafted Franz Wagner. Now, who's to say? AK is AK. Maybe he still wouldn't have made that decision. It is what it is when it comes down to that. Jet Howard's 21 years old. He was 11th overall pick. He's not done really much of anything in the NBA as of yet in his two seasons there. He's played a total of 78 games in two seasons. Hasn't started at all. Hasn't averaged more than 12 minutes per game. So it's not. It really just comes down to Franz. That's really what it comes down to, is Franz Wagner in that trade. And when you look at Franz averaging over 20 points per game, one of the foundational pieces of that Orlando Magic team, that alone is going to be something that completely changes the way that you view that trade and make that such a bad thing. And then the Bulls go on to sign Nikola Vucevic to a contract extension. I'm not necessarily hurting them for that. The Vooch contract isn't a bad contract at all. $20 million for 18 and 11 averages. A player that was your best player for the majority of last season, even better than Kobe White throughout the majority of that season, Vooch was. It is what it is. The problem just was is that we doubled down and we got a older player when we were more set up to be more youthful. And that's kind of the overarching thing that was bad about AK in that time period. You came in, you said you wanted to build organically through the draft over time, and you immediately made a trade for over 30, well, I think at that point, a 30-year-old player, and gave up future assets to do it. So it was a bad move. But the question that I want to get here and the conversation that I want to have around here is, was it more detrimental than the Patrick Williams draft pick? That's what I want to, I think most Bulls fans would admit the two biggest mistakes by the Bulls, and not to say it's the only mistakes, but the two biggest mistakes by the Chicago Bulls have been, especially with the use of assets, right? I know some people are going to say, well, no, re-signing Zach LaVine had to be the absolute worst. He was already on your roster. So, you know, that isn't there. He's already on your roster. I'm talking about in using the assets that you had. The Patrick Williams draft pick is one that keeps haunting the Chicago Bulls. And keep in mind, it still fits in the criteria of what ESPN was ranking. They were talking about moves since 2020. Drafting Patrick Williams at number 4 overall, when you look at some of the players that went after Patrick Williams, and even when you just look at his teammate in Devin Vassell, who you had to at least see when you were scouting P. Will, I still think that that is, personally for me, one of the biggest mistakes that the Bulls have made. Now, Patrick Williams has a lot more runway than Vooch. He's still only 23 years old. Maybe he can turn that around and make it look like not such a bad draft pick. But, I mean, if you're looking at it, to me, you're talking about foundational pieces. And make no mistake about it, Franz Wagner could have been a foundational piece here for the Bulls. So make no mistake about that. Will the Bulls have drafted him in that draft? I don't know. But, again, we're using the data that we have, not the woulda, coulda, shoulda. But when you look at Patrick Williams, who's drafted one spot after LaMelo Ball, let's just look at some of the players that have drafted after him that you would probably rather have. Obi Toppin, you could make a case for that. Denny Advia, you could definitely make a case for that. Jalen Smith, we have him here now, so I'm not going to use that one. Devin Vassell, Tyrese Halliburton, Aaron Nesmith. Would you rather have Aaron Nesmith? There's a conversation to be made there when you look at it. Tyrese Maxey, who went all the way down at number 21. Now, again, a lot of these players, the Bulls weren't going to draft because they just weren't looked at to be the fourth overall pick, even though it was a weaker draft. But just when you look at this, Emmanuel quickly went number 25 down there. Jaden McDaniels, a player that went later on in that draft as well, right? Like, you have these players that just, they didn't work out. So unfortunately, it just looks like right now and where this team is, you know, that is still a huge blemish on the Chicago Bulls and their lack of evaluation there. Drafting Patrick Williams fourth overall is the only other move that I can think that really, you know, that's a big mistake by the Bulls. And it's a mistake that you compounded. You gave him $18 million per year. It is what it is. Not a terrible contract, but his production on that contract has been absolutely terrible. So it just comes down to those two moves. Which one was more franchise altering is the question there, right? And I'd say this, even if you had, for example, drafted Tyrese Halliburton and still traded for Nikola Vucevic down the road, I think that would have made the Vooch trade even better. I think that you would have had your backcourt mate next to Zach LaVine, all that type of stuff. If you like, so, you know, and it's a woulda, coulda, shoulda and all of that, right? It's always hindsight and stuff like that in these conversations. But I think that these are the two moves that are the biggest mistakes by this Bulls team over. Now, which one hurt worse? I'm going to turn that one over to you guys. Which one do you think hurt the Chicago Bulls worst in the long term? Was it the drafting of Patrick Williams number 4 overall, or was it the trade of Nikola Vucevic and giving up those two first round picks? One that became Franz Wagner, the other one that became Jet Howard. Only one that really player that's made an impact so far is Franz. So let me know what you guys think on that down below. It's always an interesting conversation. I don't like to start the episode off with stuff that's negative, right? If you go and notice, even if in episodes that I get negative on, I don't like starting off with negativity, but it was such an interesting article and place to be in that that I figured, hey, let's go ahead and get into that. But I want to let's switch gears here, right? Let's be more positive. I want to talk about this article from Bleacher Report. I believe it was written by Wasserman over in Bleacher Report, and he played start, bench, or G League with every rookie that was drafted. Jonathan Wasserman was the writer there over on Bleacher Report. And when you get to know Essanguay, which is the one that makes the most importance for the Chicago Bulls, he has the Noah Essanguay's role as starter, predicted as starter, saying this: Noah Essanguay may not start from day one, but he's a good bet to play himself into the starting lineup alongside Matas Bouzelis. Though raw at 18 years old, Essanguay has a knack for putting himself in position to make and finish plays from off ball. He'll generate the majority of his offense by running the floor, cutting, crashing the glass, and hitting spot up threes. For a team that's slightly stuck in no man's land, though, the flashes of driving, shot making, versatility, and improvisation. Improvisation should sway Chicago to let the rookie play through mistakes. He should quickly jump ahead of Patrick Williams on the Bulls' priority list. Great, little write-up and little blurb.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Not getting into detail, right? I've been talking a lot over the last couple weeks over what Noah Essanguay can do to help what he can do right away to help the Bulls when he's on the floor. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and try to get ahead of it and say that I predict Noah Essanguay to start over the course of his rookie season. I'm not. I just think with Billy Donovan, the safer bet is always going to be that a rookie is going to come off the bench until something happens. Matas was able to come off the bench because Patrick Williams was bad last year, right? And that's when what got him into the starting lineup. And it seemed like the Bulls were very, very focused on keep allowing an opportunity for P. Will to wake up. He just never did. He eventually got benched. The rookie came in and took his spot. Now, coming into this year, for Noah Essanguay to get a starting position, it's going to mean that he is going to have to outposition, or just whatever, show that he brings more value on the court in that starting lineup than because I think he can start at the three or the four, that means that he has to play better than Kevin Huerter, Ayo Dosunmu, Julian Phillips, Patrick Williams, Dalen Terry is going to be in the mix there as well. Isaac Okoro, I think, is another one that he's going to have to. And that's where it gets to. Like, and while, you know, Jonathan Wasserman here in this article talks a lot about what he can bring as far as offensively, I think defensively is the biggest thing there for Noah Essanguay. And when you have a guy like Isaac Okoro, you have Ayo Dosunmu, right? You have these two guys that defense is definitely part of what makes them, good, chances to start at the three there, as well as their ability to shoot the three. Is Noah going to offer more than that? Or is it a combination of how he plays with Matas Bouzelis? Does Matas show enough of more shot-making ability to where he's your starting three? I think that's another part that we need to talk about in all this as well, because Billy Donovan's already said that he just sees Noah and Matas as forwards, not necessarily one as a three or one as a four. He just sees them as forwards. And so it's going to – Noah Essanguay is going to have to come into training camp prepared, ready, and locked in. And I think he's going to have to really make his shot-blocking ability, his rim-running ability, his lob threat ability. These are all things that – we don't have a combination of those three things, right? And, you know, if he can hit a spot up three, great. I don't think he's going to take a lot of threes this year, but I do think he's going to have those opportunities where the three ball is there, and if he takes them, great. And so I think that's what you're looking at for Noah Essanguay, in my personal opinion. But I think that Noah is going to have a great chance to have a role on this team. Minutes are going to start off slow. But if he's a starter or not, I do think there are going to be minutes there for him because of the energy he plays with, because of his shot blocking, because of the defense. I think that we could see more kind of like a Jimmy Butler-esque run. And remember, the Jimmy Butler didn't play a lot his rookie year, but I'm talking about more of kind of Jimmy in his second year. Jimmy in his second year kind of started getting more and more opportunities. He started showing his defense. He wasn't given a lot of opportunity offensively. And then it started coming around for Jimmy. So if Noah Essanay's rookie year can follow the trend of a mix between Modest's rookie year and Jimmy Butler's second year, that's what I think that you could possibly start seeing. Noah getting an opportunity out on the basketball court for the Chicago Bulls. Just to go over it, Jimmy Butler went from, in his rookie year, only playing 42 games and having an average of 8.5 minutes per game, to his second year playing all 82 games and averaging 26 minutes per game. And I think that's what you're going to look at for a blueprint for Noah Essanay's rookie year. If he can duplicate Jimmy Butler's second year, where he still wasn't like, and he only got 6 shots per game. I think that that's the good path, and that's kind of a good framework for Noah Essanay. Not to say that I see him and Jimmy as the same player, but I see that what they benefit the Bulls at being similar, if that makes sense. We'll see what Noah ends up turning into as a player, but I think that defense that Jimmy brought for the Chicago Bulls, as well as, hey, yeah, I'll take an open shot and I'll probably make it. He shot 46% his second year. I think that there's a little bit of that you can try to see there. Average 8.6 points per game his second year. So look out for that. Jimmy's averages 8.6 points, a steal per game, 1.4 assists, and 4 rebounds per game. Again, you don't really have a defensive stat there, but I think that's kind of how you can look at Noah Essanay. And if he does that, if Noah Essanay can average it by the end of the season, 14 to 18 minutes per game and playing about 80 games over his rookie year, I think that's a solid blueprint for a raw 18-year-old. But if Jonathan Wasserman is correct here and you end up seeing him win and take over a starting role by the end of the season, hey, that to me says a lot, not only about how Noah has had to perform his rookie year, but also that pairing, getting more reps, getting more of that time together to develop with Noah and Modest. I think that's going to be a really important part of getting these guys out there on the court together, letting them figure their game out before, figure them out together and balance each other out. So, and they're going to be having competitive. Do not be surprised if in training camp we hear about some very, very, very competitive practices between Noah Essanay and Jimmy Butler. I think you're going to see some very, very competitive practices between those two guys. I think that's what's best for the team. It's what's best for them. Iron sharpens iron. They're going to really be able to push each other. And having those guys and hearing that they have very similar mindsets about how the work that they want to do on the court, that does nothing but it makes me excited. It makes me happy to see this team continue to have some players that fit that type of mentality. But let me know down below how you guys feel on that. How do you feel about Wasserman's reporting that, guessing, whatever it is, prediction. There you go. Predicting that Noah Essanay can get a starting role for the Chicago Bulls by the end of his rookie year. Let me know what you guys think on that down below. With that said, last thing that we want to talk about is that Scotty White over on Clutch Points ranked the Bulls free agency grades, right? He gave grades to each of the Bulls free agency moves. I want to talk about that here. Agree, disagree. So the Bulls, for signing Trey Jones, they gave him an A- for the Trey Jones, saying this: this feels like the right move for the Bulls, and it's one that the fan base hasn't had many qualms about. That hasn't happened a lot in the last few seasons. However, Jones clearly helped elevate this team down the stretch last season, and he's an affordable player. The Bulls aren't paying a lot of money to keep him around, but they still are getting a player who can help the team win. Fans like that. We will learn a lot about Jones' role on the Bulls team going forward in the first few months of the season. The roster is not going to be the same next year, as the team has already made some important moves. Here's the thing. Trey Jones is a very reasonable contract for the Chicago Bulls. You cannot deny that what he brought to the Bulls at $8 million, that seems about fair for Trey Jones. I've seen people say that, like, the Bulls overpaid for Trey. I, for one, can't get with that mindset at all. I think it's a very fair deal for somebody who is going to be your backup point guard. He's the only other actual point guard that you have on the roster. Kobe, combo guard. Io, combo guard, right? You got Trey Jones, and you got Josh Giddey once he re-signs. That's it. So getting a backup point guard that has shown an ability to play with Josh Giddey or Kobe White, haven't really gotten to see a lot of him in Io DeSumo. I'm excited to see that aspect of it. But I think Trey is the type of point guard that really can fit in any lineup. Doesn't turn the ball over, can hit a three-point shot, is really good, is a really solid passer. Those things put him at a value signing for the Chicago Bulls. And I don't understand how people can knock it. Like, especially with Lonzo Ball leaving, you trade Lonzo for Isaac Okoro. I think that now that puts you in the spot where we all, at that point in time, was like, oh, bet, can we keep Trey now? And I think there's a reason why when Bulls fans are all united, it can either mean that, hey, there's a lot of drama going on, or it can mean that, you know, something solid. I think the Trey Jones signing is very solid. The only other signing the Chicago Bulls made was Yuki Kawamura. And for that, that's getting Scotty White gives the Bulls an A on that, saying this: it's hard to find a reason to complain about the signing if you're a Bulls fan. Yuki Kawamura showed up for the Bulls in a big way during Summer League as he averaged over 10 points per game, and he put on a show against Utah, dropping 20 points and dishing out 10 assists. Kawamura finished with 31 assists during the NBA Summer League action, which is second most by any Bulls player ever. Kawamura looked terrific, and he got rewarded with an opportunity. This is a perfect deal for the Bulls because it's low risk, high reward. If Kawamura doesn't pan out, then so what? He's on a two-way contract. It's not like Chicago would be wasting a lot of money in the scenario. But on the flip side, if Kawamura ends up shocking the league against standard competition, then the Bulls look like geniuses. I don't disagree with that blurb at all. I think that this is an extremely low-risk, high-reward potential signing. And I think overall, like, the way that I looked at the Yuki Kawamura signing is that he helps your guys in the G League develop. Just period, point blank. His understanding of offense, his passing ability, his unselfishness, all of that. The basketball IQ that's there, he helps the players that you have to send down to the G League develop. Lachlan Allbrook's going to love working with Yuki Kawamura. For what it's worth, when Noah Essanay, when he does spend some time down there in the G League, he's going to love working with Yuki Kawamura. So I think all things even and fair, like, it's hard not to give the Yuki Kawamura signing an A for the Chicago Bulls. And it's a great move that the Bulls did make there. But it was one that, you know, if they didn't make it, would have definitely been like, what are y'all doing? What's the plan here, right? Now, this was just looking at free agent acquisition, so this didn't grade the trade of Isaac Okoro in this article, but I think that trade's a win for the Bulls, too. I think you give it a solid C, right? And not the sense that I think A or B would be like if it was so much head and shoulders better than Lonzo, but you made a one-for-one trade. You got a player in there that is younger, that is a really good defender, a better three-point shooter, and more healthy. I think that it's hard not to grade that in a more favorable light. C+, B- is what you're looking at it as, because I think it was just a really smart deal by the Bulls to bring in something that the Bulls need now to help make them better, and it's more consistent with being out on the court. So we shall see. But let me know what you guys think on all that down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.